This is Nurse Guzer News for the week of October 22nd, 2018, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman Baker. Today's guest is Craig Lant. Craig is a security engineer in the security and networking group at NERSC. Every day when he gets home from work, Craig walks his cat Snapdragon around the neighborhood on a leash. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Craig, today's topic is security at NERSC. So now there's kind of a trade-off between having, like, 100% security and letting people actually get stuff done.
Yeah, there is. Certainly in a lot of places, the security group is reviled by the staff because what they tend to do is impose too many restrictions on what the people that are trying to get work done are doing, and so it's kind of a delicate balance because you want to keep things secure. Ultimately, if we wanted to totally secure our big supercomputers, we just shut them off and no one's going to hack into them. But then nobody would get any work done and all of our users would go elsewhere, so we don't do that. But a lot of the conversations that we have within the security group are, you know, revolve around, how can we implement better security? How can we implement better controls to keep hackers out while at the same time enabling our users to do the good science that they're doing here?
So what kind of tools do we use to keep things secure?
We have a number of tools. We have probably the biggest or most important tool that we have is an intrusion detection system called, well, it used to be called Bro. Mm-hmm. As of last week, and after 20 years being called Bro, it's now called Zeek. That's a tool that was written right here at LBL by Vern Paxson. And it's, as I say, it's been around for 20 years and it's grown quite popular. And we use it quite extensively at NERSC. We have, as you may know, our network border at NERSC is currently 100 gigabits. And it takes a fair bit of horsepower to monitor that, and that's one of the things that Bro does. Mm-hmm. So we have two clusters of machines that are listening to the network traffic at the border and looking for signs or signatures or indications of hacking. And a related to, well, sort of related tool that we have is instrumented SSH, which is a little bit more unique to NERSC. Essentially what we did was we took the SSH daemon that we run here and we modified it a little bit so that Bro actually gets a feed or gets to see all of the keystrokes that people who are logged into our systems are typing and everything that gets echoed back from our systems. So.
Okay, so that means you know all about the cat videos that I stored in HPSS.
Well, yeah, yours are the best. So.
Thanks, yeah, thanks.
For the most part, it's just Bro that's looking at that because it would be way too much for just two people in the security group to be looking at all of that data. So Bro is extremely important in sort of triaging that and flagging things that look like something a hacker would do. And once we get those flags, it's actually pretty easy to look at a transcript of a session and see, oh, that was, you know, that's somebody doing actual science versus somebody who's trying to get, you know, elevate their privileges, get rude or something like that. So that's another really important tool. We also have a scanner so that when we scan the entire NERSC network, at least weekly, sometimes more often than that, basically just looking for vulnerabilities before hackers find them, ideally.
Okay.
So that's another important tool that a lot of places employ. Mm-hmm.
So you also do kind of outreach too.
Yeah, and that sort of falls into the category of useful tools as well. We try to keep both our users and our staff educated as to, you know, what kind of things the hackers are doing. We have semi-monthly talks that we sponsor where people come in and they talk about, interesting security topics, and a lot of those are focused around just educating mostly our staff about what's going on in the security world. There is also when you're a nurse staff member, actually, I think any staff at LBL, you have to take a little security refresher. I think it's once a year.
Yeah.
And so that's, we do try to do the same sort of thing for our users as well. So, yeah, outreach is important. And it's also important, ties back to the whole, you know, trying to do good security without preventing people from doing their work by working with our staff and our users to help them do what it is that they're doing in the most secure way that they can. That makes it easier for us as a security group, and it makes it less likely for hackers to get in.
Mm-hmm. So if something happens, though, you guys respond, right?
Yeah, incident response is an important thing that we have to be able to do. And fortunately, lately, as in the past few years, there have been somewhat fewer incidents. I'm going to claim that that's because we're doing an awesome job in security.
I'd go with that. Yeah.
But we have had incidents in the past. And, of course, incident response isn't just responding to things that turn out to be actual hacks, but it's responding to, you know, every time the bro hiccups and says, ooh, this is bad, then, you know, we need to go in and we need to look at all the data we have to make sure that it's not that it's not real, or if it is real, then we need to deal with it. And we also do a certain amount of training, and we're planning to do more of that kind of training in the future to help our staff know what to do when they see something that looks like it might be an incident. My colleague Abe, I like his advice about, you know, what's the first thing you should do in an incident is nothing. you should stop, think about it, and, you know, for example, you probably don't want to rush in and like log into the system and start stomping around there like a bull in a china shop, because you're liable to destroy evidence or potentially even irritate the hacker and cause them to start deleting things. So yeah, incident response is very important. To do it, you know, we need to do it the right way and to do it carefully.
So what are the greatest challenges in cybersecurity for HPC today?
Well, it's interesting because it's a little bit different than perhaps some of the other areas of technology. But so at NERSC, one of our tenets or whatever that we keep in mind is that since we have some 7,000 users or user accounts on our systems, and people log into those accounts from all over the world, we sort of assume that at any given point in time, some of those accounts are probably compromised. And it doesn't mean it does not mean that the user is doing something bad, but there's the potential that someone else has their credentials and could do something bad in their account. So a big part of what we have to do to deal with that is to make sure that if an account is compromised, that it's difficult for the hacker to escalate privileges and get root, or to attack other accounts and to limit the amount of damage they can do as a regular user. And of course, it also means that's where things like instrumented SSH and Bro and all of that stuff comes in, so that we can detect which accounts may be compromised. So that's kind of our threat model going in, because of the nature of what we do and the number of accounts that we have, and the fact that we have virtually no control over the users. A laptop or computer or whatever it is they're using to log in, or the institution that they're coming from. You know, in some cases they do a really good job of security, in other cases not. So, mm-hmm. And we can't really control that.
If there's some curious behavior or something. How long does it take, bro, to notify you of that fact or figure it out?
Oh, seconds.
Seconds, okay.
Yeah, because bro is monitoring everything in real time, and it has the ability to, well, it has the ability to automatically block inbound connections from any given IP address, and that can happen in about 6 or 7 seconds from the time bro notices it. And for example, people outside of NERSC that are scanning us with similar tools to the our scanner, bro has fairly sophisticated algorithms for detecting it and seeing, oh, that's definitely a scanner. Oftentimes it can figure that out based on 2 or 3 connections from the scanner, and then it just takes a few seconds after that for it to block. It also sets off, you know, sends text messages so that our phones go off. So if you're logged into an account and there are certain key things, I don't want to mention what they are, but there are certain key things that you could type or that could get echoed on your screen that within a few seconds will set off both Abe and my pager. So yeah, it's pretty quick.
Yeah, okay. So are there other security challenges?
Yeah, I think that recently there have been a number of vulnerabilities that have been discovered in the architecture of CPUs. So there were a number of those things that came out recently for Intel CPUs. And that's really challenging for a high-performance computing center because oftentimes the only solution to those problems is to put things in place that slow down the CPU. And since our goal is to make stuff go as fast as we possibly can, that's a real problem. And while most of the ones that have come out recently have been, you know, addressed, it's also pretty clear that there are probably going to be a lot more coming out. And I think as time goes by, the ones that we learn about will get easier and easier to take advantage of. I mean, one of the sort of, I guess, nice things about the ones that came out a while back was that it was pretty difficult to take advantage of it and for example, to get you to escalate your privileges or do something like that, or to get information out of other people's accounts. Not impossible, which is why it was a legitimate thing, but pretty hard. But I think as time goes by, people are going to develop techniques that they can use those vulnerabilities, those hardware vulnerabilities, and cause real problems.
Wow. So how do you guys sleep at night?
Sleep?
What's that?
In some sense it can be a little scary, and I think that if you get frightened by stuff like that, you're probably not a good candidate for cybersecurity.
Okay. But, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, on the other side of it, it's really interesting and fun to learn about this stuff. So that's why I like it.
So how did you get into doing cybersecurity at NERSC?
Oh, by mistake? So I've been doing it for a long time. I guess I've been here at NERSC for a little over 10 years. But before that, so I was a sort of a system manager, system programmer type person down on campus like 25 years ago. And at that time, there was a system, which was large at that time, that got hacked. And it was sort of an eye-opening experience to realize, you know, how hard it is, or how easy it is for hackers to get in, and how hard it is to figure out what they did and how they did it, and how to prevent them from doing it again. And I thought it was really interesting and fun. So that's sort of how I got into cybersecurity. And then I took a job at LBL as, I think I was one of the first full-time cybersecurity people at LBL, and that was like 20 years ago. And then I took a job down on campus. I just keep bouncing back and forth between campus and LBL.
Up or down. Sorry.
That's how you get ahead around here. You just change jobs. So, but I went back to campus, and I was, for about 6 years, I was the campus information security officer, which was fun, but it was kind of a management job. And I quickly realized that I was losing all of my knowledge. It was just leaking out of my head as a manager.
Well, that's what happens when you're a manager. You have to have that managerial lobotomy.
Yeah. So I decided I didn't like that after a few years. And, and that's when I came back up here to NERSC, so that I could focus on the technical stuff again. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. All right, so last thing. Three things that you would like for NERSC users to know.
Sure. So one thing is that there's a job opening.
A job opening?
In the security group.
Ooh.
Interestingly enough, at the moment it's just, there's just two of us, my colleague Abe and I, and traditionally we've had three people in the security group, so we and Abe and I are real busy right now, so we would really like to hire somebody else. So if cybersecurity sounds like something that's super interesting to you, especially if you have any experience at all, then I would encourage you to look that up and apply for that.
Okay.
Can't
that's
hurt.
Good. Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. It's one of the other things that I would say is that particularly working here at NERSC is really fun because we get to deal with giant computers that do amazing things, and we get to work with users and people that are doing cutting edge science, and that's always super interesting.
Yeah, and you get to do a podcast with me.
And I get to do a podcast with you. I mean, come on.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to do that, honestly?
That's awesome.
It's the best part of the job.
Absolutely. Are you going to pay by check or cash? So the third thing is kind of what we talked about at the very beginning, which is that what the security group here at NERSC is trying to do is, obviously, we're trying to secure all of our resources. We're also trying to protect, as best we can, our users' data, our users' jobs, all of that stuff, jobs that are running on our systems. And in order to do that, obviously, we have to be very cognizant of not getting in the way of the science. And again, we spend a lot of time trying to figure out ways to implement really good security controls that don't get in the way of the science.
Yeah, and they actually are really nice, security guys. So this way I get the other comment for free. They're really nice, and they try to help people. They're not just trying to shut you down.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, that in a lot of places that I've been, sometimes the security group, people just don't like the security group because they only show up when something is wrong. And we try to show up even when things are going right. And we encourage particularly staff to come and talk to us as they're implementing something interesting and new so that we can look at it and not shut it down, but say, well, that's great. Maybe here's an alternative way you can do something that would be a bit more secure. And oftentimes just getting, having a developer walk through what they've done, what they've developed, they realize as they're talking that, oh, wait, I could do this in a much better way or a much more secure way. And then they just go back and do it. All we have to do is sit and listen.
That's the best way.
I love it then.
Well, Craig, thanks so much for joining me today.
Okay, thank you.